Good morning. My name's Pete Keir. I'm the CEO at D4T4. And with me today, I've got Charlie Irving, who's our CFO.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for taking the time to join as well, by the way. And really just, I believe you should all have a copy of the presentation. We'll really just take you through the presentation and then have a Q&A session afterwards, if that works for everybody. So moving on, really just a little bit of a background about D4T4. I thought it's probably worthwhile for some of the people on the call might not know us as well as others. Not a new company, been around for a while, started out in 1985, seems a lot longer. Listed on the London Stock Exchange in 1997, and really traditionally we were very much a systems integrator, bringing together software, hardware, delivering solutions, bespoking software where we needed to. In the early 2000s, we got involved with a company called Speedtrap, as it was known then, and that really introduced us to the data and analytics marketplace, which we realized was something that would work very well for our company, particularly with our background in systems integration. We liked working with Celebrus, well, what became Celebrus Speedtrap, so much that we eventually bought the company in 2015. And really, since then, really very much focused on the data and marketplace. And today, we have two parts to our business. One is our customer data platform, which is very much the historical Celebrus software product set, but also some another part of the business called customer data management, which we also have a range of software, and we'll talk about that in a second. Today, the Celebrus product family now accounts for some 80% of our total sales. And we go to market very much via partners, large enterprise partners. Our software lends itself to working really in the enterprise market space, particularly in financial services. And we work with partners such as Teradata, Pegasystems, SAS, Microsoft and Dell. And really, as I say, the big focus has been on pushing the Celebrus product set, but also the focus has been on moving to more of a recurring revenue model. Historically, we were very much a perpetual license model, capital expenditure, and we've been on this direction, in this heading in this direction for the last couple of years. And I'm happy to say that at the end of H1, our annual recurring revenue was up some 27% on previous H1 at around about 10.1 million. Type of customers we work with, as you can see there, again, to stress, enterprise class customers. We are an enterprise software company, and particularly focusing on financial services and consumer marketplace. If we move on to the next slide, a little bit more about what we actually do. The two parts of the business try to clearly show there, the customer data platform side and the customer data management. Customer data platform is a multi-patented, award-winning product set. And really what we do is we collect all interactions, all customer interactions via digital channels, whether that be web, mobile, Internet of Things, ATM, and for some of our customers, we even collect credit card transactions. And we stream all of that data in real time. All of the data, all of the time, in real time is kind of like our buzzword or our buzz phrase. And we bring that customer data into any platform required, whether it's for CRM applications, whether it's for campaigning or et cetera. And the other part of our business really was driven very much by customer demand originally. The customer data management part is where you've got all this wonderful real-time, highly detailed customer data from the digital channel. And a lot of our customers want to mix that with other data they have about the customers, whether it might be something like their Experian credit scores, it might be historical trading across various different businesses within their organization. It could be their history of loans, history of mortgages, whatever. And many of our customers have real problems in doing that in real time because a lot of their data has traditionally been stored in very different silos, one for customer data, one for their credit scores, one for risk. And what we do is we bring together all of those disparate data sources, which allows the customer to integrate their existing customer data with that very rich digital online data. And if we move on to the next page, you'll see that really what we're trying to do is to give our customers a 360-degree view of their customer data and their customers. And it then allows them to interact for more than just a customer experience interaction, but for things also for customer relationship management, risk and fraud, advertising and experience. And if we move on to the next slide, I'll let Charlie have it, take you through this one.
Thanks, Pete. So we're on to slide 7 now, financial highlights. Group revenue and adjusted profit very much in line with management expectations. Revenues of just under £5.1 million, down from £8.8 million the year before, and that's led to a relatively small loss in the period of just over £900,000. Now, there's a couple of important things to note. We were slightly impacted by some contract delays as a result of the current situation we were all living in. But the great news is, as it says at the bottom of the slide, we were delighted to be able to announce those four contract wins earlier this month, and they'll add some £5.5 million to the current financial year's revenues. Also, we are, of course, as many of you will be aware, going through a transition to a recurring revenue model at the moment, and that's going to last for the next 2-3 years, I'm sure. But really pleasing to be able to say that our ARR, which is our key forward-looking metric, is increased by some 27% to just under £10.1 million from the September the year before. We're still in good shape in terms of the balance sheet. We've got cash of just over £12 million, no debt on the balance sheet at the moment. So we're happy to say that we have not needed to take advantage of any of the government schemes in terms of COVID and the furlough and the other business support schemes. And we're also happy enough and confident enough in the full year to be able to declare a 5% increase in the interim dividend. And on that, I'll pass to Pete for the operational highlights.
Thanks, Charlie. So yeah, really just a brief overview of what we consider to be the highlights. We'll talk about them a little bit more as we go through. New customer contracts in South America, mainland Europe and North America across financial services, healthcare and consumer organizations. We actually closed our first healthcare, US healthcare customer in the period, which is a really, really good thing for us. It's something we've been focusing on for some time now. The US healthcare market has an amazing set of parallels, quite interestingly, with the financial services market in terms of use cases. We've extended our relationships also with a range of our existing clients, and we've increased things like capacity or global coverage, you know, different geographies for our software. We continue to promote and enhance our relationships with our partners. They really do give us the extended reach we need for dealing with these large enterprise customers. And in one in particular, which is Teradata, we've actually actively begun to participate in something called their Teradata Vantage Ignite program, which is something that's very exciting for us. Teradata have a product called Vantage Analytics. They have some 350 enterprise customers installed and as an installed base globally. And basically, the way that the Vantage program works is that it's the more you use the Vantage Analytics environment, the more that Teradata charge. So we've begun a joint program with them, which will allow Celebrus to feed all of that rich customer interaction data from any of those digital channels into their Vantage environment. This will allow them, customers to do analytics, come up with next best offer models, understanding risk, understanding potential fraud, but at the same time, obviously, it's very good for Teradata because it uses a lot more of their software. For us, you know, it's a major program. We're already seeing some really good results from it. As we said already, Celebrus software and products really now makes up some 80% of total revenues, which is up some 9% from previous year. We also recently launched our Celebrus 9.2 platform, which takes advantage of embedded machine learning and natural language processing capabilities, and the customer take-up is proceeding really well. We also had a couple of new patents granted in both in the US and Europe for our collection techniques, and we're actually in process of applying for 4 additional patents at the moment. And for us, really, the market opportunity, one of the things we're seeing with recent scenarios globally, obviously with COVID, is that the opportunity for growth for both our customer data platform and our customer data management product is really being amplified by that increased pressure on enterprises to increase their digital transformation. One of the things that we've all seen, obviously, is that you have to go online to do far more things, and most organizations are realizing that. And for us, I think, you know, it's not just us saying this. Recent data from people like Market and Markets suggests that the global customer data platform market is to grow from some $2.4 billion in 2020 to some $10.3 billion in 2025. I mean, that's a significant compound growth rate of some 34%. And also, Market Researching reports the size of the customer data management market to be growing at some 17% compound from 2020 through 2027. So we definitely think we're in the right area and the right marketplace. In terms of strategic direction on the next slide, really very much still this transition to an annual recurring revenue model, you know, moving forward onto that by 2022, 2023, continue to expand our sales reach via those global enterprise partners who give us that extended reach into organizations that we might not have been able to work with as closely if we did it directly. We will continue to grow our international footprint. The US market for us is the largest market currently, but we're going to be extending out of there, as we'll talk about in a minute, into other areas. And really to extend our product family, you're going to start to see not just Celebrus for customer experience, but Celebrus for risk and Celebrus for fraud detection as well. And of course, we got the introduction of our new KPI, which is ARR, which we're committed to and we'll continue to monitor. Over to Charlie for key financials.
Okay, thanks, Pete. So moving on to the financial headlines on slide 14. Revenues, as we've already mentioned, at 5.1 million, were obviously down on the year before. But again, we're really, really very confident in the full year, and we have some good, very good visibility, and those contract wins earlier this month are a big part of that. Adjusted PBT was a small loss, as I said. Gross profit margin, broadly in line with the prior couple of years, slightly down, but not unexpected given the sales level. But the really pleasing thing on this slide is, of course, that ARR number up to £10.1 million, as I said earlier. You can see that sort of we were at the sort of 6.3 kind of a level before, and as we started ramping up that transition, moving more and more customers onto those recurring contracts, we're seeing some good growth there, and we're expecting that to continue. If I move on to the income statement, just in a little bit more detail, you can see the revenue split up in the sort of top right-hand corner there. Clearly, it's the products revenue that are down, and we're impacted by some of those slight delays in contract signings. But as I said, those have now been signed, and we're in good shape. It's support and maintenance up some 7 or 8% on the period before, which I think gives a really good idea of the underlying health of the business and direction of travel. Admin expenses, this is on a sort of adjusted basis with FX and amortization stripped out, down on the same period from the year before. That's really to do with obviously the COVID situation impacting travel and marketing events. And also, clearly, with a reduced sales number, there's a reduction in sales commissions as well. But over the full year, we're still expecting to grow our OPEX year on year as we continue to invest where we see good opportunities in both the US and the Asia Pacific territories in particular. If I move on to the balance sheet, we ended the year in March with particularly high receivables after a high level of invoicing in our quarter four. That's obviously all been collected now. There was a similar kind of impact in terms of payables. But overall, we ended the period with net assets of £27.4 million, £12.1 million of cash in the bank, and no borrowings. I would just flag that on the customer data management side of the business, many of you will be aware that in addition to our software and services, we do also sell third-party hardware in a lot of those deals in order to really ensure that we have control of the infrastructure. And as those sorts of deals move towards a recurring revenue model, or platform as a service, as we call it, we will be needing to buy in those assets, whereas we would have previously sold them to the customer. They'll be kept on our balance sheet. They belong to us. We could take them back at any time, but they'll be matched with customer contracts, depreciated over what would usually be a five-year contract, and there'll be some capex associated with them. And whilst we do have the cash in the bank, we're gonna take advantage of the low interest rates in the market and finance them through finance leases. So you'll see a little bit of that coming in the second half. Tiny bit more on the cash flow. We've covered most of it already, but the operating loss more than offset by that unwinding of the year-end working capital. And then we obviously paid the final dividend for last year, which brought the cash down to £12.1 million from 11.2 in September the year before, but 12.8 at the prior year end. On to slide 18, I wanted to just give a little bit more of a bit more granularity in terms of the recurring revenue transition. So if I talk about the chart on the right, first of all, that's probably the best place to start. This is a very simple example of a fairly standard license deal, where in the past we would have, if you look at the blue bar charts, in the past we may have sold a perpetual license for, say, £500,000, and then there would have been a support and maintenance element alongside that, recurring into the future at something in the region of around £100,000 per year. In the new world, we would be selling annually recurring licenses, which combined with the support and maintenance, in my sort of straightforward example, would be something in the region of £240,000-£250,000 per year. So obviously that crossover point that we've talked about before between kind of years three and four is when an annual license deal begins to basically make us more money over the long term. And over the course of a five-year contract, that's obviously preferable to us, not just because of the overall absolute numbers, but the visibility it gives you, the quality of earnings. And we know our products. People don't generally switch it off, and it would continue longer than the initial contract length. One thing I did want to say, if I just move over to the left-hand side, the H2 weighting will continue with these annually recurring license deals that I'm describing here. As you'll no doubt be aware, in our industry, the bulk of these kinds of deals, investment, gets spent at the end of the calendar year or the beginning of the next calendar year when people have budget to spend. And under IFRS 15, revenue recognition, if we fulfill our obligations to the customer, i.e. they've committed to a price, they've signed the paperwork, and we've delivered the license, we recognise the revenue there and then. And if that tends to be in the second half of the year, then that means the bulk of the revenues will also be in the second half of the year. So we will, although we have much, much better visibility now than 2-3 years ago in terms of what's to come in the next 12, 18, 24 months, we will continue to see an H2 weighting in our revenues. Not all customers will go for the annual license deals. I think we flagged that before, but we just wanted to sort of highlight it again. When you're dealing with the sorts of large financial institutions that we're generally dealing with, and in many other our verticals as well, these are big projects and a lot of investment associated with them. And if a customer really wants a perpetual deal because that works for them, we will not turn them away. We will try and push them towards the annual, the recurring revenue model, but we will always be customer led on that, and ultimately find a way to do a deal that works for both parties. I've already mentioned there will be some capex and associated lease finance for some of the platform as a service deals on the customer data management side of the business, And just to mention in the example on the right-hand side, we would generally invoice for the year up front, so the revenue and the cash will be matched. Just to summarise in terms of the financials, as we've already said, the ARR is up some 27% at £10.1 million. There's a known trade-off in terms of short-term impact to sales, but we're very confident this is the right thing for the business. OPEX down in the period, but we will continue to invest in both, in particular in the US and Asia Pacific, where we see strong opportunities there. So we will see an increase in OPEX year on year come year end. Balance sheet's in a good place. The shortfall in H1 revenues offset, largely due to some slight contract delays, but more than offset by what we've already announced in terms of contracts won earlier on in this month. We've got really, really strong visibility of H2, a combination of the contracts already announced, a really strong pipeline in terms of new and existing customers, and of course that recurring revenue, the bulk of which does tend to recur in the second half. We're confident that we'll deliver a good full year. And on that, I'll pass back to Pete.
Thanks, Charlie. So really just going to take you through a little bit about our business and some of the growth drivers. So if we look first of all at our business, Celebrus product family includes various items. One is real-time data collection. We also have real-time data migration and synchronization and real-time data monitoring and management, and that's really on the CDM part of our business. As we've already mentioned, Celebrus product sales now account for some 80% of revenues, and that includes Celebrus software licenses, delivery services, and support and maintenance. And really, what we're seeing as growth drivers for our business, I don't know how much you know about first-party versus third-party cookies and this whole Google, Apple, Facebook, privacy war, ITP. We only collect data. We only use first-party cookies. That means we only collect data about our customers' customers when they're on a digital touchpoint like a website or a mobile app, whilst they're on in an environment that's instrumented with our technology. We do not follow you around the web. We don't do any of that creepy stuff where you've looked at a shed and that shed follows you around the internet for the next week, month, or whatever. You're going to see a major change, I believe, in the next year in terms of first-party data being good, third-party data being bad, and I think we're already seeing all of the evidence that says first-party data is going to win and we're going to be in very good shape. The good news is that first-party real-time data, behavioural data, is finding far more uses within organisations as a result. And it makes it far more valuable and increasingly, valuable to business critical operations. And so where we've always played before or to date has very much been in the marketing experience and in the commercial analytics side. But what we're seeing now is very much a move to using our data for risk detection and fraud analysis as well. And that's and over the next few months with the new versions of Celebrus that are coming out, you're seeing us move more and more into that area and some different enterprise class partnerships to go with it. If we move on to the next one, real-time data production. We are the only game in town when it comes to collecting data in true real-time, instantaneously, from all of the digital channels. And people like IDC are suggesting that nearly 30% of all data generated, and that is a vast quantity of data, will be consumed in real time by 2025. And if that's the case, we feel we're in a very strong position for growth. And some of you may have seen this before, but this is kind of a combination of a Gartner, Forrester, and our interpretation about maturing clients and how they're expanding the market for us. And what you see, I'll explain the chart a little bit. On the left-hand side, you have very much the older style use of customer data from digital channels, where you collect the data and then you overnight will come together with a marketing outbound email campaign or an SMS campaign based on behaviour that happened previously. That's not what we're about. That's not where we play at all. As you move up the levels 2, 3, 4, and 5, you'll see that really our target market is at the level 4 and 5 area, which is very much why we've been focusing a lot on financial services. Those guys really are into personalization and targeting. They're into unified multi-channel views of customers and the use of real-time decisioning platforms from people like SAS, Pegasystems, and Teradata. Again, part of the reason why we work with those partners. And really, the analysts are forecasting that today some 43% of large enterprises use real-time data, but within the next 3 to 4 years, it's going to move up to some 78% of organisations. So we really are seeing that move. There's no question. We're getting more and more people starting to use our product to feed into a lot of our competitors' environments, the likes of the Teliums and the Adobes, feeding our real-time data into their platforms such that they can be used, consume real-time data as well. Another growth driver that we're seeing is regulations impacting our enterprise clients. By the nature of the way our software works, we collect all of the data all of the time in real time. And then we feed and stream that data in, and then we then apply rules to that data of what we keep, what we do with that data, and what we don't do with that data. I wish I could say we'd intentionally designed it this way, but as a result of the way our product works, we become compliant with all of the standard data protection regulations. So GDPR, we had to do very little with our prior product to make it GDPR compliant. And in fact, a lot of our customers love the fact that we can be compliant with all of these different regulations globally, particularly people like HSBC. You know, we're working in 26 geographies with those guys, and they know categorically that we will make them compliant with the local data regulations. We see that as a major growth driver. Also, one of the things that drives growth is a lot of our potential customers use a lot of the information from the analysts. So people like the Gartners, the Foresters, the real-time story groups, and the CDP resources. And we've been working really hard to get a lot of notes published in the last year, and we're up over 35 plus notes on our technology. And we see that as something we're going to be doing moving forwards as well. Really another growth driver, as we've already said, is partnerships. And we have two types of partnerships. One, our technology partners, which enable us to get the extra reach into the customers that those enterprise class customer and accounts that we probably wouldn't be able to normally get to very easily. If you look at people like Teradata, for every $1 of technology they sell of ours, it leverages between $5 and $10 of their technology. We got exactly the same with people like Pega and SAS and Dell. On the right-hand side, you're looking at more at our service partners, people like OnMark and Facet Technology, where we utilize their resources around the globe to assist us with implementation work. It really means that we always keep very much a watching brief on all the implementations. We always make sure that best practice is observed, but we use these guys to help us to do the implementation work globally. And obviously that gives us the opportunity to scale our business. And really, strategy for growth hasn't changed a great deal in the last 6 months, I have to say. We have a clear growth strategy, and we do believe it will lead to a sustainable data platform business and give us far more predictable revenues. We focus on a certain amount of organizations, large banks, the mega data companies like the Experians and the DMBs, large commercial enterprises, consumer enterprises, and we have a highly focused data-centric product development team. We, as I've already said, we're influencing industry analysts and opinion formers. That's the way we get the message across to those large enterprise accounts, and we're going to continue to partner with and sell alongside complementary technology companies around the world. And you'll see that beginning to increase, particularly as we move into the fraud and risk areas over the coming months. We've been executing an account-based marketing strategy to target some of these clients. And the reason we've been doing that is we find that it's all very well working with partners where they introduce us to their client base, but for some organisations, we really want to be having much more of a direct communication with those accounts. And it does make it a lot easier for us to introduce a partner in at the right moment into one of those accounts after we've established the fact that they have an interest in the in our technology. So we're going to continue that account-based marketing program. And really, we ensure client success by having incredibly strong product support. What it does is two things. One, you get a very happy customer, and you get a very good implementation and a successful return on investment for those customers. And importantly, it reduces out any potential churn through our customers. We have an exceptionally, exceptionally low churn rate. And really executing on that strategy throughout the year, our North American investment will continue. We continue the annual revenue increase to drive that more stable growth. And as I've already mentioned, partner relationships do continue to strengthen. There's nothing quite like taking some significant contracts to focus on a partner's mind. We've been actively moving our clients onto the latest version of Celebrus, which is 9.2. And really, a lot of our customers are getting the benefit of those new functions and features that we integrated into the current version, things like machine learning and NLP, particularly in the fraud and risk areas. Asia-Pac growth is very much being driven quite a lot more than we thought it would by the Teradata Vantage Ignite program, which I explained to you earlier. Almost half of their 350 installed base of Vantage enterprise customers are in the Asia-Pac area. And I'm very happy to say that we're putting in our first salespeople into the Asia-Pac area starting in January, and closely followed by pre-sales and then obviously implementation. And that Asia-Pac region will also give us an interesting focus, particularly around the M&A side. And really just to close out on outlook and current trading on the next slide, we've largely been unaffected now to date by COVID-19. Obviously, we saw a little bit of a delay in some contract signature, but really just by a couple of weeks. The high level of customer retention and increasing annual recurring revenue really has mitigated any material impact of it as well. That transition to annual revenue model will continue. And the year is progressing really well and in line with our expectations. And we have an exceptional revenue visibility for this second half. And I do mean exceptional. And we're very, very confident, really, in delivering that strong finish. And it's underpinned by the new contract wins that we recently announced on the 5th of November, a high level of annual recurring revenue occurring in the second half, and a significant pipeline of business that's currently under final and negotiation. And that's pretty much all we were going to talk about today. So thank you very much for attending. I appreciate your time.